Well, good afternoon, everyone. We just got back from our trip out in the New England area, and we will say that it's our new New England church near the Boston area. That ought to make everyone happy, at least out there, the way I described that, because I heard that a lot of the other churches are calling themselves the Boston Church of God and this and that, so we don't want to confuse them. We will be the only one standing later, so it doesn't really matter, does it? These other ones are going to all continue to go downhill and break up because God's not running them. They may have first fruits in them, which I certainly hope they do, but they are not being directed by God, and they won't stand. And they'll just keep breaking down more and more and more, and then they argue among themselves. So we'll just patiently wait, and the right ones will be here. And God has a way of working all that out. I can say now to all of you that are watching the videotapes, greetings to God's seven churches. Seven churches have been fulfilled. Yay, it's over. Well, we have two or three more on the horizon, so we can't revel in that long. And the church areas, of course, are different. And they are also here. So we know we're near the end. I am going to break into the series that we've been doing on race or family. We'll pick that up next week. We've just returned here from starting the sixth and the seventh churches. And really, this has been in a period of about a year. We've only sent out the light last January. So it's coming along, isn't it? And it's building in momentum. A lot more people are listening and watching and enjoying this. So we're able to start a church out in the New England area near north of Boston, and until they settle down where we can get a hall, because people keep coming in and we want to look where the central point is going to be for that. But while we were out there, we were able to have a wonderful Sabbath and a real get-together and a nice dinner afterwards. And I guess I'll get to that in a moment. And then we started a church in Selma, North Carolina. It's a little southeast, I believe, southeast of Raleigh. And that was a thrill as well. So, out there in the New England area, some people drove over 10 hours to get there and to be with us. And they came from near the Pittsburgh area. That probably in the summer will begin to be another church out there. We had six states represented. I felt like I was at college. You know, we had 44 different countries represented. Ambassador College in England, at least the year I was there, if my memory serves. That's 35 years ago, so don't hold me to that. We had a whole bunch of countries represented there. I'll tell you, out there, it was like a little mini feast. Everyone was excited. We had a great time. A lot of people hadn't seen each other. Some of these newer people that were global or united or whatever, and now they have broke from them and they've come with us, and they hadn't seen some of their old friends for many years, so it was quite a reunion. Everyone was in one mind, one spirit. That really is a delight to see that. It was like the feast last year. A lot of hugging, going out to restaurants, no one wanted to be apart, running around a great big group. And all enjoying each other. We had some very, very good times. We had a wonderful Sabbath in a little auditorium there. And we didn't fill that up, but we certainly will in the future, if God is willing on that. We had a wonderful regular sit-down dinner. And the restaurant or the hotel there did an excellent job, just a fine job. And we had a wonderful, wonderful time. We were able to, at the beginning of the service,
we're able to ordain a deacon out in the church, out there. I don't like to use last names that much, but I can say for those who know him, we ordained Edgar as a deacon in the church out there. And he also will be doing, and he is doing right now, translation work into the Spanish language. And I might say we have another member there who drove in, and he is going to begin doing it in the Dutch language. And another new person who joined us there, a lot of these men work for the FAA or doing different things. Government work is very big out there in the eastern part of the country, and he knows French, and he came from, I guess, Canada, so his mother only knows French, so he has to keep up with it because he has to speak with her. And he told me, I have to bone up on my French anyway, because it's like about 6 or 8 weeks he has to put on over in Europe. He has to put on a big presentation to all the NATO bigwigs over there in NATO, and it has to be in French. So he says, I've got to bone up on that anyway. So I said, well, I'll send you a transcript and see if the computer spits it out in French halfway decently. He'll be looking at that. So so after we ordain the deacon, we're able to ordain a local elder in that church area. From the internet, most of you know, his name is John. And he had served as a deacon in God's church for a long, long time through Worldwide and then the other associations. And so we're able to make him a local elder, and they have a minister out there that can see to their needs out there. And as we ordain these people, you know, it's not just to a position anymore. And it's not to rule over anybody. It's just a guide. It's to help. It's to serve more. And just put organizations so everything is done in order as God so wills it to be. We were able to finish the series on, we finished the series on the book of Peter, 1 Peter and 2 Peter. We were able to finish that while I was out there, and all of you will hear it later as I am gone from headquarters in different weeks, then you'll may be able to hear that one. So that one will be coming. Let's see, I wanted to, before we get into this, I just want to say that it was a real pleasure to be out there. Everyone was happy and joyous. We had a lot of fun. You know, I get to go around the country and meet all the people, and you don't. And I can tell you that from everyone that I'm meeting, this is going to be quite a crowd of people, fun-loving, good-natured people. You know, we've all made it. We don't have to have put on airs. We don't have to show our personal righteousness to anybody. We truly can be ourselves. And we can learn, and we can understand from each other, and learn from each other, and just love one another, and get to know one another. And that's what happens in each one of these churches. And it really is a joy. It really is different. We had a lot of love in Worldwide way back. But we have even more here, and God's blessed us all a little bit more. you'll hear some stories. Now, I know the New England church, when they see this tape in a week or so, are all going to be laughing. I can picture every one of them laughing at this. But just to show you that God's Spirit is working out there, and we'll try to protect the names to protect the innocent, you know. But people out there help each other. They share each other and share the work, the workload. So one member needed to have a tree cut down. And I know, and you guys are all starting to laugh right now, aren't you, out there? And another member came over to help this member do this. And unfortunately, the tree didn't fall exactly where it was planned to fall. So everyone got in acquainted with some of the insurance companies in the local area, and it was, I know they're still laughing out there because we laughed about this so hard before, and you can all get the details when we go to the feast. But the bottom line there was that people sat down and said, you know, this is just Satan. You know, that tree really should have gone the other way. And he's cut down a lot of trees. But we're not going to let Satan get involved here and in between and split us up in the church like this, because we all love one another here. And so what did they do? They just kicked Satan right out. They resisted it. Said, let the insurance companies take care of it. And that's what's going to happen. And yet they're still friends and they can all laugh about it. Now, the next time, though, this gentleman comes to cut anyone's tree, at least in that area, I'm sure they're going to take some larger precautions in the future. But it was fun, and everyone has been laughing because it was an accident. It certainly wasn't on purpose. And that's what you have to do with accidents. It's an accident. You didn't mean that to happen. And you certainly don't ever want that to happen again in anything any of us do. You know, it's just physical stuff. You can replace the physical. You can't repair the other damage. You know, that you can repair. So we're looking forward to the feast when everyone gets together and has some very happy times. We're going through Peter last week, and I wanted to review a couple of things because something happened out there. It wasn't with any of the members. We all had a good time. There was an outside source that happened to be present with all of us. And it brings to fact and it points out very clearly what we're going to see in the future. And I think that it's important that we go over this subject. So the title of this sermon is, and you notice I have very short titles because it has to fit on all those cassettes. You know, I can't go too far with this. But I think this puts it through. It's the name and the title of this sermon is Son or Wimp? Son or Wimp? Very plain. We'll get into that. You can start to ask yourself, are you a son or are you a wimp? Are you just a little wimpy person? Or do you have that confidence that we have gone through? We have those sermons on hope and confidence. Now, God's strength is here. We're getting to the end of this. And that strength is building. And that confidence is building. Because there's going to be a big show here at the end of all of this work. And he's going to build up to that. And he's going to prepare us all. But keep this in mind. Are you a son or are you a wimp? It's very simple. Let's go back and review just a couple of scriptures here that we were going over last week, because I want to set the scene to this. An incident happened there. Not an incident, but just something happened, which I'll explain a little bit. And we ought to know how to take care of this in the future. And we should all have the confidence to know what we should do and what we shouldn't do. So in 2 Peter 2, starting in verse 1. We were reading this, of course, in the sermon, so we were all very familiar with this. But I want to bring everyone up to date very quickly on this. We'll just kind of skip through a few verses here. He starts here in 2 Peter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. He's talking to the church. Peter, that chief apostle, is instructing the entire church on this, and to look and be aware of this. So So he says, there shall be false teachers among you who privately shall bring in damnable heresies. So people will sneak in under Satan's direction and try even here. It says, even denying the Lord. This is denying the Lord that brought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now we know Satan is the instrument here, and we know that Satan, that God is talking about Satan, but he's also talking about what he's doing within the church and how we see this visibly in front of us when these things happen. Now when it says even denying the Lord, what's that all about? Well, I'll tell you, as I told the people out there when we went through this, when you think you can make it into the kingdom of God by your works or by doing your part, then what are you doing? You are denying Christ. You are denying the Lord. It says that he's the one who brought you, didn't he? And he bought you. He says, the denying the Lord that bought them. He bought them with his blood. And yet we have our part. Yet we may do some nice works so we all of a sudden can get there. That really is denying Christ. You're taking part of that glory away. So in verse 2, and many shall follow, better word here is lascivious ways. Many shall follow their lascivious ways. Lasciviousness ways. And lasciviousness means license to sin. That's all that is. By reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And that's what happened out there by an outside force. We had somebody come and join us from the outside. It was really by mistake. It was not planned that way. But sometimes you got to go with the flow. And so we did. And the truth, the way of truth was evil spoken of. Right when we were there. In verse 10, because we don't want to read the whole thing. It says, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh, in the lust of uncleanness, and despise government. You know, when these people despise government, we're not talking about the Clinton administration or the Reagan administration. That's not government. That's just a bunch of satanic garbage. We have no interest in that anyway. Just maybe more as a laughing stock to see what Satan is doing. But there's no interest to us. Government is God's government. And they despise God's government. When you despise God's government, you also despise God. That's him, isn't it? And we know this is talking about the demons and Satan, what they do. But we also see it, him working within men sometimes. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. It's going to be their way. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Who are the dignitaries in God's government? Well, let's see. We've got the Father. We have Jesus Christ. Of course, we have any of his servants that he has used in the past, and servants that he is using through his seven eras. But now we're getting way down far. But who are the real dignitaries? Christ, the Father, the apostles. They speak evil of dignitaries. We heard some of this, which I'm going to... But remember these scriptures, because that'll make the example very, very plain. You know, these people come in and say, oh no, no, God didn't keep, Christ didn't keep the law. We don't have to keep the law. We don't have to do this. We don't have to do that. Oh yeah? Well, where did you come up with that? not out of the Bible. Going on here in verse 12, it says, but these, and it's talking about these demons, it says, but these are natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed. And they speak evil of things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. And we know that's the fate of what's going to happen. Now, when these demons and when these influences and Satan comes with men, what happens? What happens to all of us when they're around us? Verse 13, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime, spots they are and blemishes. What they really are. Sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. You know how wonderful it is to be of like mind and knowing the true plan of salvation. And when you get somebody in that group that suddenly starts talking the old way, suddenly starts throwing out some of their own garbage, it really stands out. They really are spots and blemishes when we're trying to celebrate what God has going. In verse 15, which have forsaken the right way, they have forsaken the right way. You know, these aren't outside people. If a Catholic or Baptist or somebody came in amongst us and started talking their little rhetoric, you know, you're polite and you're nice and you say, yeah, well, okay, you know, fine. Well, maybe we know a better way or maybe you know a better way, but, you know, they don't really push it that much. But when people have been in God's church, they have known the truth, and now they've gone completely downhill and backwards back into the world with that spirit, now you got yourself a problem. Now you're talking with somebody who is religiously opposed and they know exactly what you believe. And they're coming at you. So you have a different situation there. It says, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray following the ways of Balaam. It says, who love the wages of unrighteousness. They revel that they don't have to keep the Sabbath. They revel in it. They make it known. Well, I worked on the holy day there. I couldn't get off, and no big deal anyway. Oh, yeah, that clam chowder. Oh, that pork. Yeah, oh, it's great. And they rub it in your face. And they went back to those wages of unrighteousness. Now, are they lost? No, they're not lost. But they're certainly being used and for a lesson. Verse 17, he describes these people and, of course, those spirits that are running those people. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. And we know that spirit is going there, that satanic spirit. For when they speak, and boy, did we hear this. For when they speak great, swelling words of vanity, they lure through the lust of the flesh. They make this sound good and appeals to the flesh. And if you weren't careful, you'd almost get sucked into this. It sounds so right. And, oh, they use the name of Christ here and the Christ there. And, oh, how Christ works within us. And all the time they're denying Christ because they haven't kept his law. And all the time they hate Christ and they hate the Father because they won't obey. And Satan, of course, is not letting them at this time. See, it says, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. Verse 20. Now, I'm going to be giving a sermon in the future. Don't write in. You'll get it when I do it. About the unpardonable sin. What is the unpardonable sin? And who does it apply to? And who can do this unpardonable sin? Who's it apply to? We'll have a sermon just on that. I have alluded to it and said it in a lot of other sermons, but we'll take time to really go through the scriptures. And a portion of this that we're going to read here applies to the demons and Satan and all of that. But we can also see their works being done in human beings as well. The human beings are not lost, but the satanic things are. It says in verse 20, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome," so it pulls them back in. Once they've come out, now they go back. "The later end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them." Now remember, all the demons and Satan heard all the commandments. They were there. You can read in Romans 1, that whole chapter is talking about all of those demons that were there from the beginning of time. And what happened? We used to apply that just to men, and that is not the case. Send in for that article. Is it man? Is it angel? It explains that. You know, we can see this in people. And we can see their attitudes, their minds, everything changes. And you know that Satan's working with them. And they think they're the most righteous, holy people in the world. And we look at them and we go, whoa, what has happened here? What has happened? And I'll get into this, what happened, just in a moment. But remember this in verse 22. But it is happened unto them according to the true proverb, "The dog is turned to his own vomit again. And the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire." It is amazing when people have gone, come along, stopped eating the unclean meats and all of that, got their lives halfway together, and then you see them go right back overboard. And of course, Satan's doing it. God's allowing that. We have no judgment on the individual himself. We're just seeing what has happened here. And our eyes have to be tuned into this to see this. You know, don't just put a blanket over it. Watch what happens. And it's by grace that we aren't there in the same position. And they go right back into the world, right where they came out of, and start doing all the slimy, wretched things. But this time, they really think they are righteous in doing it. And they're like dogs going back to their own vomit. It is pathetic. But you see, when these dogs go back to their own vomit, they would like to take you with them. They're holy now. They're righteous. They have the new understanding. They have progressed way farther than any of us. And that's the attitude in which they come in where we are. They're way above us. They're talking down to us. We're still in the mire. They want to lift us up into their little world, which is a satanic world. And really, they're so far down there, they can't even reach up and grab our shoestrings. That's the real case. Well, during that Bible study out there, Sabbath service is more in a format of Bible study when I'm on the road, we also read these. And you have to have this background. Go over to Jude. Let's know what we're talking about before I explain what was going on. Because it was vile what went on. And we have to get our mind straight on it. In Jude, starting in verse 10, we'll just read a couple chapters, a couple of verses here. And this is talking, the whole chapter is talking about demons, Satan, everything that's going on here. And he lays it out. And he backs up, of course, the chief apostle, Peter, and what he just said. In verse 10 in Jude, "But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward." You know this way of Cain. Satan just jumped right in there. He did his tricks. And starting in verse 12, it says, "These are spots in your feast of charity. When you're together, when you're enjoying God's goodness, then they try to worm their way in, and sometimes they do. When they feast with you, feeding themselves, they feed themselves without fear. They sit there in righteousness. Clouds they are without water, carried about of the winds. Trees whose fruit withers." If you've read, or not read, but heard the series on circumcision and cycles, you know God's idea, from God's mind, what is fruitful and what is not, and how he really looks at that. It says they are without fruit. You know why? Because they're dead. And then it explains a very key thing. It says, "Twice dead, plucked up by the roots. All mankind will die once. All of us in this room will die one way or the other. Will it be changed, which is going to be a death, or will die of natural causes or some disease or accidents or whatever? But we'll all die. But we're only supposed to die once. But as we go into the study of Satan and his demons, we find out they're all going to die too. They're all going to come back for the judgment. And then God's going to throw them in the lake of fire, the second death, which no one can come back from. There is no return from that. Mankind will not be in that one, but Satan and his demons will. That's why he says, and he tells you, once you know the plan, it's so plain. Well, he's talking about the twice dead. It says, "Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever." No chance to come back. It's forever. And that describes the spirit, describes how they do take over mankind. And sometimes we are witnesses to that. Well, let me describe a little bit what happened. You know, it's not a great big thing, but it's something that I think that we need to know, so that when this is going to happen now more and more to all the church members across the country, and you have to learn to be a son, not a wimp. Now you have to use God's Spirit and let him drive you. You know, I'm not talking about going out and getting hammers in your hand and banging people over the head here, you know. You let his spirit guide you. Let it direct you. But I think it's going to inspire you more than you've ever been inspired before in situations like this. Because we're at the time of the end, not the beginning. Well, what happened out there is that we had a wonderful brunch. Some of the ladies that had were driven in. Some of our men drove 2 hours to pick them up and 2 hours to bring them back. And so people are really serving one another out there. And that's good, but I've warned them in the wintertime and that, do not push the stuff on the roads. You know, we don't have to be at Sabbath to make it. Now, when the weather is nice and when we can do it and we're not running people into the ground, you know, then it's good to serve and do that. But let's do that in balance. And that goes for anyone across the country. You know, use judgment, good judgment. It's Satan's world out there. Let's not get caught out into it and put ourselves in those positions. You know, we're all there, and a number of us were at the hotel. And I asked the ladies, when do you want to get to bed, you know, get together for breakfast? A lot of times people get up earlier to do that. And I said, 9 o'clock? And they went, oh, no. I'm thinking, what, 7? They want to get together at 7:30 here? Because we're all going to be up real late tonight. And I says, or I said 8 o'clock, and I said 9 o'clock, and they said, ah, no, let's make this around 10 o'clock. I said, no, see, I know you're converted. You're letting everyone get at least a few hours sleep here tonight. And so we all met down there, and all of us, but about, I think, 2. Some had some job and another thing that they couldn't get out of, so they had to help. And so everyone basically was there. And we had a nice big round table, and then we had a little square table that kind of pulled up next to it. So what had happened is, what a wonderful buffet, too. They really put on a spread out there. And so what had happened, one of the men invited a friend that he had known for years and years in the church. And now the man was with the New Worldwide. And he had talked with him on the phone, and he said, well, when you come out there, let's get together. So he invited him down, and he was supposed to be there like at 8 or 8:30 in the morning. And he had this all planned that they would get together. Another person there knew them too, wanted just to say hello. And then they were going to take one of our members back up to Maine, and it was going to save everyone a trip up there. So, and they were friendly, so we thought, okay, go ahead. You know, the man can come down and do this, and that was all going to be done really before everyone got together for breakfast. So, but what happened? You know, the best laid plans of men and mice here—they always go astray. And so the man didn't get there until almost 10 o'clock. Well, now we're all getting together, and it was just—you know—it's one of those things. You're caught, so. And we had no problem with the man. And I want to say at the offset here, I'm still dry from New England. It was so dry out there. Yeah, see, there. I'm looking at the camera. They're all laughing again because they know how dry it was out there. We have nothing against the man. He doesn't know what he's doing. He'll be a brother later. And that's fine. But there's a spirit that goes along there, which we're totally opposed. And so we all sat at this round table, and a few over at the side table pulled. I'm trying to set this scene. And so he was sitting there with the others that he knew, and he was talking and going on and on and on and on. And this isn't embarrassing to anyone. No one knows who this man is. And if he ever comes to church and he hears this, he'll sit here and go, oh, yeah, I did that. I'm so embarrassed, but, hey, we're all in this together. Come on in. No, no problem. This is just an example, a very striking example. So the man was going on and on and on, throwing out all this, oh, Jesus Christ and loving, and we have to help the world and get the world ready, and it was on and on. And they use Christ's name to vindicate what they're doing. And we have to understand, they are denying Christ when they do this. Because the man wasn't keeping the Sabbath. The man wasn't keeping the holy days. The man was eating pork and ham and everything else. Now, he had already eaten ham in front of the one man who invited him. But when they're going through line and they came to all the bacon, he says, oh, he says, is that beef bacon or is that? Of course it wouldn't be that. And this is open to the public. And our man said, oh, no, that's pork. He says, well, he says, I know all of you don't eat pork. He said, so I'll just, you know, I won't have any pork. I wouldn't want to offend anybody. What, you self-righteous thing, you. Now, see, it's different. When you are coming from the outside and you happen to come into a group of people and they're all vegetarians, well, in that case, you don't want to offend anybody. You don't want to offend anyone. So you don't order the hamburger or the steak or whatever. Now, these are outside people. They haven't been in the church. This man was in church. He knew what was right. He kept what was right. And now he's doing something opposite. And, of course, it was with that spirit. No, he was not going to have the pork because he was so much more righteous than any of us. And he certainly wouldn't want to offend one of the little ones here. And that was the attitude. You could smell it. You could see right through it. Remember I tell you, I can smell the ministry, the old paid ministry way out there on the West Coast. I could still smell it when I was on the East Coast. because it's an attitude. It's an attitude. And so this man came not to be nice, not just to see one of his old friends. He came for an opportunity to preach down to all of us. Now, I wasn't listening to a lot of it because it was just a bunch of satanic babble. And I was kind of, that's what I told you, there's this little square table. And our new elder was kind of at this, and so I kind of had to turn away from the main round table. But I was hearing a lot of stuff going on. And occasionally, I would look, and I would look at all the brethren there, and they would see me looking, and they would look at me, and their eyes would go, ugh, like, oh, this guy, you know, who put the quarters in this guy? It's just a big preaching session. Bawk, 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 bawk. It's like a big check-in over there. Rolling out the self-righteousness. Denying Christ all the time. And guess who he's doing it on? God's true church. God's true Philadelphian First Fruits. Who are having a wonderful time, a beginning, the starting of the church out in New England. With all good attitudes. And he's just vomiting out. Every time I look at one of the other, and they roll like, oh, and they're just sitting there so bored because we're having such a good time before that. And the man, the poor man who had invited the man and all this went astray and then he joined us, he was like, oh, I'm so sorry. And he's getting these big eye rolls like, oh. You know, and it was obviously very painful for everyone there. You know, I haven't been in that situation out in a church area like that when all this stuff is happening. So I'm just kind of waiting. I know what I'd like to say, but you have to reframe yourself a little bit and hold off and try to do it and wait to see what God's Spirit is going to do in that situation. And so it's very interesting. And like I said, I was talking with the other elder here, and I was talking with him, and I was hearing all this and observing. This guy was just taking over the whole table, spewing out vomit. That's what he was doing. And so it was a real experience here. And in just a moment, we will continue, and I'll tell you the rest of this story.